This is Maria Rosaris presenting New Voices, a program which interviews brand new writers from all walks of life, deep in the throes of their writing projects. I will interview them, get them to read a sample of their work, then get a total stranger to critique them. Wow, episode 16, and we are going right back to the beginning, interviewing one of my favourite interviewees, Will Roach. But this time, he's going to be our critiquer. I've coupled him up with Joanna Trelevis, a smart, savvy writer. She packs a whole story into just one page of writing. Before you get all excited and think, oh yes, perfect solution for my very short attention span, think again, because Joanna's work causes you to pause, take stock, and think alarmingly deeply about yourself. Will Roach, he's a poet, he's a performative artist, he's an author, a lifeline counsellor, was born in Trinidad and is a staunch member of the queer community. His book, Gay, Black and Underage, tracks his journey into his identity. So what will he think of Joanna's little blisters of social critique? When you look at Joanna, to use her own words, well, very straight, very conventional, pretty stitched up. Whereas Will is somebody who definitely stands out in a crowd. But internally, he's a conservative guy. He believes in love at first sight. Joanna's deliciously deadpan style focuses on dating. And this triggers Will Roach into making a number of confessions about dating, about love, and about COVID. Her stories depict a woman who's running amok with her creativity. She reminds me a lot of the heroine in Fleabag, that wonderful comedy where the key anti-heroine looks straight into the camera as if she's sharing a joke with us. The critical question that Will asks is, who is the joke on? Overarching all this is COVID. It's affected all of us, but as an interviewer, I'm just finding that people are opening up a hell of a lot more. And I don't put it down to my cunning skills as an interviewer. No, in the privacy of this tiny little studio, I suppose you do forget that you're speaking to possibly 5 million listeners a week on community radio. So welcome to episode 16, deliciously served up by Joanna Trelevis, critiqued beautifully by Will Roach, and kept in check, sort of, maybe. It's been a long COVID. Well, Joanna, and you must be shocked and alarmed because you attended one of our writers' groups, but you blew everyone away with those little stories that you had. And I'm just really interested in the whole trail that led to that. Who are you?
Oh, well, how I got to this point on my day job, I have an administrative role, of which is a PA, but, you know, kind of a structured, organised work style. But I've always had a creative side to me, come out in different ways at different times. Over the years, I've written a few things here and there, and then people have said to me, why don't you write more? And I think the humour has always been part of me, big part of my life.
It's a wicked humour.
it's a weird kind of humour, maybe. I don't know what to call it.
I don't know. Like, you know, first meeting you, it doesn't seem are going to have that type of humour.
It comes out slowly, I think.
Is it a surprise to people that you know or your friends and family?
People who know me are not surprised. I think maybe like someone who meets me the first time.
Yeah.
Possibly I've been influenced by the work I do. This kind of like low-key.
Low-key and you're well put together and you kind of look efficient and organised.
Yeah, which is the surface.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you dig a bit deeper, you find this kooky person. It doesn't sort of really match the exterior. I don't know.
Now you're Trelevis, so that sounds Greek to me.
Yes, it's Greek.
Have you been here for generations?
Born in Sydney. I grew up in Sydney. My parents came over from Greece as immigrants, a classic story. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But they came over when they were very, very young. So they remembered Greece as it was, you know,
back then.
Eons ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I spent some time living in Greece as well. So that gave me a different view of life, I guess.
Yeah. Did you live in Athens or?
Yes, in Athens. Yeah,
yeah, Athens is an amazing city.
It's amazing. It's very different. Yeah, yeah.
I love Athens.
I did live there for some years, and then my sister said to me, what are you still doing over there? Why don't you come back to Australia?
Yeah.
And I thought, she's right. Mm. It's time to come back.
First of all, I want to find out what role writing plays in your life. Because when you arrived at the group, you said, I've just finished a
small book. Yeah.
A small book.
Yeah.
So how did you start that journey, and how did you decide that the book was now done?
You know, I don't actually remember what made me start. I wanted to write something, and I thought, what can I write about? Just developed that way by itself, and I probably didn't feel that I could write a novel. I mean, it's a big step to go from beginning to novel for me. I think you need to have a lot of experience and practice in between. So I thought I'll start with a short story. Even the topic, dating, was just something that, I don't know, I didn't really give it much thought.
Yeah.
It just came out like that. And I wrote one story, I wrote another. And they're all sort of out of my imagination mostly. I mean, there could be a few details that might be true.
Yeah.
But the detail might not have any connection to dating. The color of someone's shoes, I took that and I used it to create a character.
Yeah.
Weird like that. They were quite short. And then I thought, oh, if I want to write a book, I'll have to write quite a few stories.
Yeah.
So I sat there and wrote some more.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's it.
And does it take long? Because they're quite short, quite pithy, quite almost like a little blister of words. How does it make you feel when you've finished it?
Possibly this might be one of the reasons they are a bit short. Mm. I had it in my mind that I wanted to make people laugh.
Yep.
At least bring a smile, especially during these times.
Yeah, yeah.
The point, I think, was not so much to write a long story, but to just make someone laugh. And I think that's why they came out short and snappy like that.
Yes. And with these dating stories, so how much experience have you had dating? And how did you date during COVID? And how?
There was kind of a quiet period, but that actually helped me go inside and sort of search myself a bit more and come up with some creative ideas like this.
Yeah.
Stories that I've written, they're mostly out of my imagination. I might have taken a detail here and there, but I haven't sort of copied a story from anyone's. Yeah.
So you talk to a lot of friends and so they share their experiences?
No, not even that. I just really, literally just made them up.
Wow. I think we have to start with some of these stories because otherwise people are not going to know what we're talking about.
What I'm talking about. What's this crazy woman doing here? I've got a title for each story. So I've got all these different ideas, but I haven't really come a decision yet what to call the book itself.
Okay.
That might come at the end, I think.
Story number one.
Now, there's some dialogue in some of these stories, so I'll try to vary my voice a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah.
So the first one is Seeing Eye to Eye. I met Greg on a dating site. He looked sweet and we had a lot in common. We talked on the phone and I liked him, his voice, his conversation. I really liked him. We made a date to meet. I waited just outside the local cafe as I got there early. Hi, sorry, I'm a bit late. I turned around but didn't see anybody. Funny, I thought I heard someone talk. Maybe they're not to me. I'm here. I turned around, still no one in sight. I must be hearing things. No, here. I looked down, and there he was. All of him. Greg was around 165 centimetres in height. I'm quite tall at 178 centimetres. Oh, I didn't see you before. How did I not see his height on his dating profile? Let me see. Is this such a problem? Let's go into the cafe, he asked. Okay, but your hand is on my butt. No, it's on your waist. That's my butt. Oh, sorry. We sat at a small table and Greg went to the bathroom. Shall we order? I almost jumped out of my chair. Oh, you're back, I said. Yes, silly, can't you see me? I really couldn't. What are you going to order, he asked. I'll have a short black coffee with a shortbread cookies. What's wrong with me? The waiter arrived and Greg gave our order. How's work? Greg asked. Well, I have a shorter working week now, even though our office is going through changes and now we're short-staffed. Can this get any worse? You look uncomfortable. Are you okay? He asked me. Oh, I just had a difficult day at work and sometimes I get short-tempered. I can't do this. I'm weak. It was a short-lived affair.
I had to turn my switch off because I would have been bursting out laughing. That is so funny. And so I was going to stop you and say, oh, you know, be more expressive. But in fact, the flat delivery.
I probably felt a bit nervous.
So was that something that actually happened to you?
None of that was true, no.
Yeah, you just sat down and you went, oh, yeah, I'm going to make short jokes, which I did not appreciate, by the way, because now that you see me, you know that I'm short. So you're just trying to create a little bit of humour for everyone.
I think that was my incentive for this, yeah.
That story packs a punch, and it's only what? How many words is it? 300?
A page, really.
So much happening. A whole story, in fact.
I probably didn't go into a lot of detail for each section, but I didn't think it was really...
No, you don't have to worry about it because the tone of who you are, does that change at all, the personality, or it's the same personality all the way through the stories?
No, it's a bit different. And also I've got some stories that are not actually about me.
So let's go for another one.
This one's a little bit different. I've called this one A Vision of Perfection. Hi, do you come here often? What a cliche. Couldn't he think of anything more original? I looked up from my drink. Oh, he didn't have to think of anything original, or anything at all. Before me stood the most gorgeous man I've ever seen. Tall and statuesque, with a face chiseled to perfection. Glacial blue eyes with a piercing gaze. A warm, slightly cheeky smile, with a hint of things to come. Hi, not often. What about you? Oh, I get out a lot because of my work. I'm an actor. I'd never seen him in any movie or on TV, but I really didn't care. We left the bar together and went for a walk, chatting, strolling into the busy shopping district. I noticed women looking at us. To be honest, they weren't looking at me. Women walked past us, their sexual energy full on as their eyes feasted on this vision of perfection, the finest specimen of testosterone walking by my side. I felt awkward as these women were getting closer to us. In fact, I suddenly got bumped to one side. One woman even started chatting away to him. And then another, as I got jostled around further away from him. Before I knew it, a large group had formed around him, and I'd been ostracized from the group. I stood there watching from a distance. The group was so large now that I literally had to stand at a distance. I got myself a sandwich and waited for the excitement to ease off as I watched from the sidelines. It was a tasty sandwich, ham and pickles. A bit too much pepper, though. Yawning, I looked at my watch. I'd been munching on the sandwich for an hour, and the throng showed no signs of subsiding. I waved to him. "I'll be off now," I said. "I'll see you at the bar next time," he asked. "Sure," I replied. "I'll bring a sandwich."
You know what I find intriguing about that? There's so much that's embedded about your personality in there, which is humorous, attitude towards life, and it's so frank and honest and open. So you're looking at the world curiously.
I do that, yes.
Yeah.
And I usually look at the absurd.
Yes, but you're also looking at yourself absurdly.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because you're saying, oh, yeah, well, this was slightly discombobulating that, you know, I was inched out of this circle, but my sandwich was nice.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit too much pepper. So you sort of like shift your focus to something else. It's just charming. You know what? It reminds me also of Fleabag. I don't know if you've seen that program. It's almost untethered, allowing yourself to be who you are.
Yeah, I can sort of identify a bit with that, yeah.
Do you read a lot?
I used to read a lot. Lately, I don't because I spend a lot of time on the internet and I just want to rest my eyes a bit. So,
but you're writing instead, which is fantastic.
Yeah, but I think reading is good too, so I do want to start reading again, yeah.
Yeah. So what is it that you want to say about women?
Oh, about women. I don't have anything like specific or particular that I'm looking at with women or men, actually. This is just lighthearted fun.
Oh, yeah, sure. But as you are a woman,
yeah.
You are writing from a woman's perspective, regardless of which character you take on.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got this woman who's on the loose viewing the world
in
terms of her imagination and interpretation of the world. Is that a position that you hold? Like,
not all the stories are the same, and some of the stories have this, let's say, this prototype, this woman that's a little bit bewildered maybe, or discovering things, or not sure where she stands. You know, that some of them are like that. The next time I do writing, it could be from a very different position, a woman that's a lot more dynamic. This particular collection came out like that.
So how many stories are there altogether in the collection?
Up to now, they're 20, and I think that someone said to me that I should make it a bit more, like more stories, but I'm not sure that I don't know yet.
I think a nice little capsule of stories is going to be great. What is it that you're going to do next? You know, what role does writing play in that life of yours? Do you go, oh, yeah, my sat days are spent doing this?
This is the practical side of it. This is what I've learned through working on offices and businesses. Yeah. I've got to make some kind of plan, let's say.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I won't do anything. So I've decided to block out some time. It could be something different next time. I mean, it won't be dating. It'll be something else. As I move around in my life on a day-to-day basis, I observe people and things and places. And if something catches my eye, like, for example, I remember years ago, this couple that I met, the man was wearing a pair of very white shoes. I think I might have mentioned this earlier. And that gave me, I thought of that. I remember that. And that from that, I created a story.
Or it something just that triggers.
Happened. It triggers something. And then I think, oh, that's funny.
Oh, Joanna, you must tell us another story now if you've got one.
Okay. Well, this one's about a couple. It's not about me.
Yep.
So this one's a bit different. It's called The Ideal Couple. Greg and Marta were friends of mine, not close friends, but I'd known them for 6 years. They always looked so happy together that in my mind I saw them as the ideal couple. I felt a lot of people would aspire to having a relationship like that. My phone rang. Hello? Hi, it's Greg. How are you? Greg didn't call me often, usually only when he had a mini crisis in connection to his work. Good, what's up? How's work? I'm not calling about work. Now that was unlike Greg. Then there was a silence. That too was unlike Greg. Are you there? I asked. Yes, look, sorry, I want to confide in you, in somebody at least, and I think you're the best person, he stuttered. I never noticed his stutter before. Maybe that was a new thing. A new trend? Greg embraced every new trend as if it gave him a new lease on life. I'm having an affair, he said, very distinctly, without a trace of a stutter. Please don't say anything to Marta. I just had to tell someone and I thought of you. Should I feel shocked, disgusted, or honoured that he thought to tell me? Not enough time to mull that over in my mind. Oh, well, what are you going to do? I asked. I don't know. We've been having problems, you know. The ideal couple and problems. These two factors didn't add up. Somewhere the equation had an extra factor. Oh, but of course, an affair means there is an extra factor. Another person is involved. I'm just so happy at the moment, he continued. I let him go on until he was happy with his confession, and the conversation ended there. My phone didn't stop ringing. Hello? Hi there, it's Marta. Oh, hi, Marta. What's new? Are you all right? Did I sound nervous? Even stupid? Probably. Oh, I have to tell you, I'm having an affair. I feel wonderful, but please don't say anything to Greg. He'd be heartbroken if he found out, she said all in one sentence. I'm sure he would, I thought to myself. So what's new with you? Marta was riving a wave of excitement, remembered to be polite. Oh, you know me. I see a lot, hear a lot, but kiss and don't tell. What does that mean? She asked. Where do I start? Nothing. Just been a long day. My phone hasn't stopped ringing since this morning. But don't worry. Your secrets are safe with me. That was a bit different.
It's a little slice of life.
It is a bit, yeah, I suppose. And the unexpected, I suppose.
Well, also, it's about the surface and the reality.
Things are not what they always seem to be.
Absolutely. You're playing with that membrane between reality and what's really going on. You do it playfully and joyfully, and I think it's gorgeous.
Just go with the flow.
It's really beautiful work.
Thank you. But basically, I just want to give joy to people and make them smile. That's always been something. And I think that's basically where this comes from.
And yet you chose the job, which is quite...
My day job, you mean?
Yeah.
I think that's just something I kind of rolled into, like,
yeah,
as a secure kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, security thing.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah. I find that as I'm getting older, that probably is less important now. I mean, it's a bit riskier when you leave that. I'm still in that phase of working.
Yeah.
But it's a bit tempting to just drop it and go into something else that's not so secure.
Well, I can't wait for you to start dating again and create more stories. That'll be just wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joanna, for coming into the program.
Thank you for inviting me, Maria.
And now on to the critique part of our program. The beautiful deep tones of Will Roach back in our studios. Thank you, Will, for coming this evening.
Lovely to be here, Maria.
And I know you've had a long day. You've probably been lifeline. You know, during COVID, you're probably busier than ever. I'm dealing with writers who are actually writing from within the COVID space. And this is somebody who's writing very funny stories.
Yeah.
As a result of being in her COVID bubble and not being able to date. So tell me your immediate impressions.
Well, I have a little confession to make. I have never actually dated.
True. Honestly, listener, you ought to see Will. He's like gorgeous. And listen to that voice.
It's always been love at first sight.
Oh, each time.
So each Oh, Maria.
Well, I'm sorry. It's just, I'm sure you weren't a blushing bride.
But I could never claim to be a blushing bride once or twice
or three times. Or four. Like, so serially, you are a love at first sight, like across the room.
I am. My dad always said that he saw my mum at the water pump when she was 5 years old or something, and that was it.
That was it.
I think I must have internalized something about that, but just did it more than once.
But I know that you are a man about town in terms of being a performing artist.
Yeah.
It's a broad church in terms of your friendships. How do these stories and the way that she's delivering her performances, because they almost are like a performance, aren't they?
I was struck by the deadpan nature.
Yes.
It was almost as if it was a comic delivering her lines with a punchline.
Yes.
There's always a...
It's like a joke.
Yes. Yeah. But who's the joke on?
Yes.
Is it the reader? Is it the writer? What does it tease out for you in the process of human relationship?
Yes.
Because I think that it's the power of those short, sharp, sometimes sort of droll pieces asks you to question what you enter into when you enter into that field of dating. What are your expectations?
Yes.
And how do you deal with meeting essentially a stranger for the first time?
But we all meet strangers.
But it's with an aim. The other confession I have is that I've never been on a dating site. tried in the past to get my head around that. How does it work? And that story where she talked the short.
It's a short guy.
But maybe it's age catching up with me. But I just remembered actually that in my day, if you wanted to hook up with somebody, there was something called the timeout personal pages.
Oh, right.
So I'm writing about this, or have written about this for my second book, but wrote a letter, you responded to a personal ad, and then you did an assignation, and then you turned up, and hey presto.
You never did anything like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of dating.
But to me, that wasn't. It's really interesting because she, and also it's coming from a female perspective. What I've got is the male perspective and the queer male perspective.
Yeah.
But also, you know, talking to girlfriends about their experiences with men and dating.
Yeah.
Even though those pieces are really, really tight, all sorts of things start to bubble to the surface. And I'm thinking, wow, even though it's fictional and she's taken it from an observational point of view, she's seen a shoe or she's seen a colour or whatever, she's telling a fundamental truth. And I started to think of, why is that so familiar? Where is that connection with the experience of a girlfriend of mine? I think it's a really universal.
What do you think of where she is, the bewildered female traversing modern life, coming across all these things sound familiar. You know, your friend that you thought was in a perfect couple. What do you think of that as a story trope, that positioning?
I think it's a very rich seam to mine because we can look at something from the outside and say, oh, aren't they great together? She has really come up with some gems in that COVID space that really then shine that light for the reader on their own experience. There's always a ring of truth.
I know we've called it deadpan, but more than that, there's a sort of a level of absurdist detachment. Mm. I love that story about the ideal guy. There's an immediacy to her language, and it's almost a type of artwork which is all splatters, you know, because the artist is like using their hands and everything else. It's like, here it is. This is how it impacted me.
Yeah.
There's no filter. She's not interpreting. She's just recording these impressions. And she's like a blank page that the world is drawing on. So she's acting equally to revelations about an affair as she is to meeting the man of her dreams visually, where he's virtually taken out from under her very nose within seconds. It's about moving the focus from one thing to the other, and everything is equal.
Yeah.
Perfect man, drink, dating, sandwich, affair, white shoes.
Yeah.
All of them are
genetic. I feel that she's collapsed 30 years or whatever of human experience when, you know, finding the right person.
Yeah.
And in particularly that story about the man being swept away by the adoring crowd of women and her being pushed out of the way and then thinking, oh, I think I'll have a sandwich. Yeah. It's sort of how I feel at this point in my life. It's not that I'm thinking of being, you know, human beings are funny. They do the strangest things. And, you know, sometimes it's just best to step out of the ring.
Is that how you're writing now? The last time I interviewed you as a writer, beginning of
it's
the year.
It's now September the 30th. What a difference 9 months makes.
Absolutely.
Or whatever it is.
It was a different world, wasn't it?
We were just stepping out of the bushfires.
Yes.
And we were stepping into the world of COVID. Who knew?
Who knew?
And it's been interesting listening to Joanna because I've been in that space as well, that COVID bubble, not only stepping into the world of, you know, Lifeline, but then stepping out of that world into my own writing world and having my own writing world discombobulated because I used to spend time in cafes. They were closed off to me temporarily. And then when I went back into them, there were these COVID regulations. And I remember one of my favorite cafes that I walked in breezily and I saw this. It's almost like I was seeing a different person, a different place, a different on a different planet. Because she was the same person, same smile. And she said, would you mind kindly just, you know? It. And I said, I do mind, and I won't be doing that, and goodbye. And I haven't been back since.
Do you think we're being just a little bit churlish?
Maybe. I think that was, in a way, my sanctuary, and it felt like somebody without consulting me had taken it away. Intellectually, I knew, I understood, but emotionally.
Emotionally, it was different. You're one of those people.
I am one of those people. I'm a rebel.
So you've probably analysed this situation because you are a professional counsellor.
Yeah.
And you've probably, I've been calling it the COVID crack. You think you're doing all right. You're coping, 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 and then there's a crack. Surprise yourself. You surprise other people.
I mean, it has had, the pressure was there before, but it has been accentuated. Whether it's employment or whether it's getting to work or whether it's, you know, mental health, it's accentuated. You don't hear from certain friends. It's very difficult to get together. As a writer, I think it's become really clear to me that it is a very lonely business. And in those instances that I'm going into the cafes, I think it was this sense of, oh, I'm alone. I haven't got a friend with me. I haven't got a fellow writer with me to say, did you see that? What do you think?
Have you been performing at all?
You know, the funny thing is, at the beginning of this year, I decided that I wasn't going to do any performing. Isn't that? I found that really interesting in the context of what came.
So you caused COVID? Sorry. So that you wouldn't have to perform.
I said, listen, but it's also then the impact on those spaces of performance, which have just gone dark. Some have come back, but it's not the same.
So can you see Joanna performing this?
I could. Yeah, I can see her being on stage with the spotlight on her and the microphone and people rolling about in the aisle, not really getting why they're doing it, because that's the interesting thing about, I think, writers who perform their work. You do inhabit a different persona.
Why did you decide not to perform?
I found it emotionally draining, time consuming. And that's what I loved listening to Joanna.
Yeah.
Because she seemed to be working it out on the fly.
On the fly, yeah.
I think I need some time. I'll put some time aside on Tuesday afternoon.
I know, she's so organized.
But that was the other thing, my final confession. I have been an administrator. Nothing happens unless you have a plan. Within that plan, you have to have allocated time and you have to make writing a priority.
Yeah.
And then it's that bubble you create that is invariable. Nobody can come and prick it. I loved when she touched on imagination, because imagination is the handmaiden of creativity.
Yeah, the last thing I want to explore with Joanna's writing, it's that character that turns to the camera. Kind of collusion with the reader. Come into my world. This is us looking at the world. I don't know how she does that, but she's done it.
There might be a clue in when she said, I don't read because I've spent time on the internet. What that does to your creativity, and I'm quite sure
is
where
it
I'm
the observer thing?
Yes.
Because when your head is in the internet, and you're going from one wormhole to the other, you become the ultimate observer.
Yes.
And somebody with her intelligence and with that absurdist thing.
Different take on creativity. When she said, I need to read more, I have realized during this COVID period, I've made a decision to spend less time with entertainment because I'm a creator. But still then having short periods when I think, yep, I'll look at that. I'll look at it because I'm a YouTube addict. Yep. Right, stop. Switch everything off. Now write.
Okay.
So I'm having that constant internal dialogue. A nightmare. I don't know if it is a nightmare, that I won't be able to write anything.
Yeah.
Nothing will come.
So you just want to get it all out now.
Yes.
Will, thank you so much for coming tonight in the dark. In the wilds of Glee.
It's a pleasure.
And for enjoying Joanna with me as well.
Yes, I look forward to seeing her book.
This is Maria Rosaris, and it was a pleasure to bring you this program, produced in the Sydney studios of 2RPH with the support and inspiration of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. I look forward to your company next time.